This is Leo Babeu for KTWH, and this second week of June, we're in visiting with Greg Ruberg, the CEO of Lakeview Hospital and Clinic. Greetings today, Greg, on this cool respite after the heat wave.
Yes, good morning, everybody.
Greg, you and I had an interesting discussion back on May 14th. It was the day after the CDC masking guidance was significantly adjusted, and we both seem to agree largely that it complicated the messaging about how to best protect our populations that still needs COVID-19 immunity. So in the weeks since, I know we've seen almost all of the public places masking requirement signs come down, and the number of masks seen in the public indoor spaces is way down as well. Yet we know that there are fewer than 70% of our Lake County adults who have had their first shots. That leaves something over 2,000 adult Lake County residents who haven't yet had a COVID-19 shot, even the first shot. So if the CDC guidelines were working, wouldn't we likely be seeing a more significant minority of folks still wearing masks in public? I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but just something that intrigues me.
Yeah, you know, that was an interesting development that really, I wouldn't say maybe caught us off guard, but surprised us where that came out all of a sudden that, you know, masks are no longer required if you're vaccinated. And then Minnesota made it kind of a quick adjustment to their plan, which was going to be changing about a week out. But what we did is it created a lot of confusion, at least for the first couple of days in our hospital, where some of our customers, patients, fitness center members, and or customers to the pharmacy were coming in and saying, well, we don't have to wear a mask anymore. We heard it on the CDC, and we heard Governor Walz say it, so, you know, we're done with this. And, you know, we politely and respectfully said, well, yeah, that's for most public settings, but if you're in a hospital or a long-term care facility, those mask requirements are still in play. And so we did some education and provided some talking points to our staff in all of our areas. And our patients and community members across Lake County, again, have been very, very respectful and accommodating to that request. So it's been challenging, though. I think we've had a lot of questions about, you know, what should I do in public? And, you know, what we've done all the way through this pandemic is cite the CDC, Minnesota Department of Health, and other experts on this around guidelines. And so, you know, in Lakeview right now, all of our staff continue to wear masks, whether you're vaccinated or not, and whether you're in direct patient care or in a meeting off in a separate room, we're following that guideline. You know, in theory, I know some hospitals across the state have said, well, if you're in a meeting that's in a non-patient facing area and you're all vaccinated, you can take your mask off. The hard part about that being a hospital leader is my philosophy has been in this role for the last 7 years is if we're going to put a policy in place or a rule or regulation in place, then we're going to enforce it. And so it makes it really difficult if somebody's hosting a meeting, for example, and to know who is and who is not vaccinated. So we've been consistent to say, if you're in a hospital, we're all going to wear masks. We're all part of the same team caring for patients. So now in the community, that's much different. The guidance has been, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. And, you know, I think some people follow that, some don't. The concern, of course, is those that are not vaccinated are supposed to wear a mask. And the question is, are they or not?
Right. And of course, we're super sensitive to the whole question of asking people if they're fully vaccinated in public. So we remain wondering which of the people around us may in fact be unmasked inappropriately in, you know, in view of the CDC guidance. I guess that is what we face as we go into this busy summer where normalcy seems to be everyone's goal.
That's right. You know, I think people after 15 months of this, you know, I've heard people say we're finally done with all of it. And we say, well, we're not completely done with all of it. We are moving back toward a more normal summer and a more normal activities, which is great. And again, I think as our vaccination rates continue to increase slowly in Lake County, you know, we're at 65% now of those 16 plus have had vaccination. We're about 83% of those that are 80 or 65 plus have had at least one shot. 82% have had both. And so, you know, the high risk, the higher risk groups are doing well at that kind of mid to low 80s, where the overall county is still just shy of that 70% goal that we keep hearing about. You know, I'm very happy with our Lakeview team and our vaccination rate. You know, we're, I would say, on the higher end if you compare it to state averages in healthcare facilities and much higher nationally. So our employees, you know, overwhelmingly accepted the vaccine. We still have a small percentage that have not gotten it or won't get it, at least when it's up to them.
Well, we do know that Lake County doesn't necessarily exist in the bubble, and we haven't quite even hit our vaccination goals yet, but we know that in other parts of the country, for instance, President Biden's goal of 70% by 4th of July is pretty distant in some parts of the country where there's a pretty high degree of hesitancy. I was wondering what your thoughts are on how we reach the last miles to go in this public health challenge, because I was making a list of what's been tried in various parts of the country. Convenience of access to vaccination. Lake County has a great example because we have a mobile bus coming from Minnesota Department of Health and Blue Cross Blue Shield next week to do vaccinations in Two Harbors and Silver Bay. So there's an opportunity to make it easier for people to access, and it's a walk-in available clinic. Cost has not been a factor for folks who are given a vaccine free. We've offered incentives. And all along, there's been a public health urgency to this, but yet over a third of our American public has not seen a convincing story about why they should get the vaccine. Does that give you any pause, and do you have any thoughts on that, Greg?
Well, there's a couple thoughts that I would share. So the approach that we've taken both internally here at Lakeview and, again, to some extent across Lake County is one, you know, not to shame people, not to use fear as a motivator. It's more just sharing information, education, and making resources available to people. So, for example, you know, I know of a couple of employees here that have been open with me to say, I'm just really nervous to get this right away. And so we provided education. You know, we provided what kind of answers to questions that came up. Right now, it's not mandatory at Lakeview or any other healthcare facility in Minnesota. But what we've seen is as more and more of our employees have got, all of our physicians and leaders got it up front, and that went well. But as more and more people have gotten vaccinated, I think some of our employees have said, you know, I've seen it's been now 5 months, maybe 6 months since the first people here have gotten vaccinated. We have people coming forward and saying, you know, it's time for me to do this. I'm ready. And so then we provide it. And again, we created that county resource line. So if somebody in the county is concerned about the vaccine or the kind of the background or how it was brought to market or tested, they can call and speak to a medical professional, a physician or nurse practitioner or PA, to kind of get the medical perspective of that one. And that's helpful as well for people. So that's been utilized, not a lot, but enough that it was certainly worth putting in place. And so I've heard a lot of interesting feedback about the incentives that are being used around the country to kind of incentivize people to get the vaccine. You know, like Ohio, I think people have heard that you could win $1 million jackpot, I guess, if you will. If you get vaccinated, you get put into a drawing. There's students getting four-year full rides to public education in that state, and that was happening weekly. I've heard some criticism about that, saying, well, why would we be incentivizing people that have waited till now to get it? What about the people that went first? That's where the drawing should have been in the incentives. And again, I see both sides of that. And we have not incentivized employees here. We've said, here's the education, here's the background, here's the recommendations, here's what we think the right thing to do is, and then try to encourage people to do it. But I don't believe in using fear to motivate people to do anything. I think we share fact and let people make decisions. Now, that may change from a federal and state standpoint, but again, I think we're just not there yet.
I bring it all up not to cast aspersions on anyone, but just kind of point out we all thought that there might be a little more buy-in as many months went by and people who knew people who had been vaccinated saw no untoward effects. You know, these people weren't getting side effects or strange lingering effects. And we thought that that might spur more people, that there'd be a second wave of folks reporting for that first dose. Lake County, for instance, I think it's in the last 3 weeks, and I don't know about what happened with youth clinics this week, and maybe you can fill us in on that. I know we've only had a couple 300 vaccinations happen in the last, or at least first doses happen in the last 3+ weeks. So things are tapering off, and there doesn't seem to be a big second wave movement. Is the possibility that we're going to see a significant wave of the 12 to 18 population taking the vaccine? What have you seen in the county just the last few weeks in that regard, Greg, with youth vaccination?
Yeah, there's a couple points I'll make. I agree with you. I thought that we would see kind of this bigger uptick in people getting vaccine after enough weeks or months had passed when their friends and neighbors and coworkers and physicians and others have received it. You know, I think there's a bigger fundamental problem in our country, and this is another whole discussion that we're not going to have today, but
right,
really around trust in government and trust in authority and trust.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, there's, we all know, we've all seen that. You watch the news and you watch, if you monitor social media, you know, I think it comes down to integrity. And I think when and again, this is a much bigger discussion, but I think, you know, sometimes we see things that happen on a political front that are unfortunate, that undermine that trust, and you can maybe, I always try to put myself in a person's shoes about why wouldn't they trust this? And I think we see enough things happening on a daily or weekly basis where it's like, well, that's why. You know, and it's not even around the vaccine necessarily. I think there's a overall feeling of distrust. I do think, to your comment about the youth clinics, you know, we had our second dose clinics for that round that you mentioned yesterday at the high school, and the high school did a great job, or high schools did a great job of creating a really efficient clinic to have that happen. So we went through, we got those second doses done. We're actually doing a first dose clinic for that same age group as we speak, just down the hall here at Lakeview.
Okay.
We have a second dose clinic, and we've got another first dose clinic kind of over like 11 to 12:30. And we had good response to that. Those appointments filled up quick. We added some extra doses. They filled up. And so I think there was more interest, probably to your point, that this first group went through and did well, got their second dose, and people thought, well, that group did it. They did fine. I'm going to do it now. I think also the news about some of the variants affecting younger kids on the news has got people more interested, because things are evolving in COVID, and I think we'll see evolving again this fall and winter. And, you know, I've got a child in that age bracket, and we chose to have him vaccinated, and so I feel like that was the right decision to protect him and others. So, but, you know, we did research on that. My wife did a bunch of reading of journals and reports to really kind of sort through all that, and that's the right way to do it. So,
and most people don't generally have necessarily access, or at least they don't feel confident reading like primary medical research. So they're really going to look to their trusted healthcare provider for their take on what the state of the science is.
Right. I was on a really good call yesterday, and this was with hospital CEOs from across the state. It was a smaller group. It was, and some are physicians and some are not. But just hearing about, one of the topics was, what are you hearing about COVID vaccine in your facility? And really, some of the stuff that's coming out that people are reporting is, I guess, unbelievable is probably not the right word to say, but that people are claiming that the vaccine can do this or that, and I mean, absolutely no basis in science at all. And we've seen this kind of anti-vaccine movement in the past. This one's a little bit different, but, you know, some you just shake your head at, and there's other ones that, you know, there's some risk that's low, but in those ones you want to take seriously and learn about. But, you know, some of this was pretty far out. But again, it gets, social media is kind of a platform or a vehicle to spread that. And again, I don't know how to judge that. And we just try to look at fact and objective information and make decisions. And it gets harder to do that all the time with all the stuff that all the noise that we hear around us.
Indeed. I'm speaking with Greg Gruberg from Lakeview Hospital and Clinic on KTWH. And Greg, I guess in this last of my opportunities to speak with you, at least this season, I'm wondering whether your infectious disease advisors and planners for the hospital have any real notion of what kind of arc this could take, with variants continuing to perhaps spring up, because we still have a pretty healthy reservoir around the world of people that this virus can spread among. Is there any way for you to understand what we might see even in little old Lake County come the fall and winter? Are we expecting at least to see an uptick, or are we worried about variants that may eventually get past our vaccinations' ability to protect us, or are we even looking at the duration of protection from those vaccinations? There's a lot wrapped up there, but what are you looking forward to? I mean, a lot of people would like me to say the pandemic's over, congratulations, Greg and staff, but it's not exactly, is it?
Yeah, there's a couple points I'll make around that. You know, I think in our jobs as hospital leaders, our job is always to really to be providing services now, but looking into the future about what's coming, where are the challenges, where are things that we have to prepare for. So, you know, we do celebrate with our team and our medical staff about where we're at today, because the case rates in the county are very, very low. Testing is low. Vaccine overall is, you know, on the right track. But again, to your point, we need to increase it some. But we're looking back, you know, out to fall and winter. How do we deliver services? What do those services look like? How do we think we're going to be screening? All those kind of things. I will say it's really nice to, in my position after 15 months of being focused on COVID every single day, 7 days a week, to be working on, you know, surgery growth plans and infusion therapy and physician recruiting and other services that was part of my real job before. So it's kind of nice shift back to, it's like, this is really fun work. I forgot about all this stuff.
Right.
It's been all COVID-19. We looked, part of the discussion around the state is, what is COVID vaccine going to look like next year in terms of boosters? I don't think we know. The one interesting point, I heard a physician talk this week that really I've been thinking a lot about what he said. you know, he said in their bigger healthcare system, they just did not see influenza this winter or this past winter at all, really. I mean, it was very, very, we didn't see much of it. We didn't see really any of it here either. What I think is interesting in his comment, now, this is a physician that's dealt a lot with COVID and other kind of emergency medicine, said, we know that the mask use, the hand washing and the distancing work to prevent or mitigate the spread of respiratory disease. And so I think some people say masking doesn't work at all. But I think his point was, well, it did have an impact on influenza. I think the decisions that we made over the winter did have an impact on COVID, but also on influenza. And I've thought a lot about that, about what is it going to look like in the winter? Are we going to see those big peak flu seasons again where, you know, where staff were out and patients were sick? Or are we going to implement kind of masking around that time to minimize it? No, in healthcare, not in the community, I don't think. But
oh, yeah, that was going to be a huge issue if that was the case. Mask mandates right. For the winter would be quite something.
We're trying to learn all this and sort through. And I think we're much better prepared to treat patients with COVID. We're more efficient at testing it. We understand it better. So I think we're trying to learn from everything over the last 15 months to prepare to minimize impact in our county this fall and winter. And again, I would like to thank all of Lake County. I think people overall did a really nice job of following guidelines. And when they didn't agree, they respectfully debated that versus, I think of the Lakeview experience, it was a positive one where I know not everybody agreed with decisions we made here, but they respected them in the end. And I think that just made for as smooth as we could have been despite all of the disruption and impact that none of us liked. So.
Well, Greg, it's not exactly been a pleasure to share pandemic discussions, but it has certainly been educational, insightful, and encouraging as your staff and yourself met the challenge of this unprecedented, isn't quite the word, but a once every 100-year event, we would hope, although we don't know what is in store for us in the future. I hope that we're not brought back to the table to talk because of any outbreaks. So it looks like we're going to curtail the schedule of speaking to you and maybe talk about all those other neat things that are going on in healthcare today with your new expanded facility. I'm sure you have a lot more that you would like to talk about, and I hope that you get a chance to visit with Katya regularly coming up on KTWH about those topics.
Yep, that would be great. We would welcome a topic other than COVID. And I kind of joke with our leadership team now as we huddle 3 days a week, and that was part of the COVID incident command response. But there are some days now in our half-hour huddle, COVID talk is 3 or 4 minutes out of that, which is amazing. It used to be the entire time. So right. Clearly things have shifted, and we're happy to be at the place that we're at.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Greg, and good luck going forward. Appreciate your time
a
lot.
Thank you.
You take care.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Greg Ruberg, CEO, Lakeview Hospital and Clinic in Two Harbors, Minnesota, with discussion on where we stand in COVID, the pandemic, the vaccination of our citizens, and the future. This is Leo for KTWH.